I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Saturday, April 4th, 2026. Just a couple points of clarification before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's edition. As I watch my following continue to immolate as a result of my own actions and as a result of the way that I'm covering things, I can't even say that I wish I could change trajectory and just alter what I say, that I wish I could adopt a script. I can't. There's a couple things that I'm going to restate for the record. Number one is, I'm not a supporter of the IRGC. I'm not a supporter of the Iranian regime. I'm not in a position to pass judgment on what's happening on the other side of the planet. My concerns are the problems that face North America, the problems that face my own country, the problems that face my neighbor. And they always have been. I thought that was clear, but it doesn't appear to be so. And then the other thing is, and this should have been clear since 2016, since the very beginnings of my YouTube channel. And I know I've been here and it's been on and off and I've covered many different things. But when I saw Trump deliver his remarks where he announced he was running for the leadership of the Republican Party to become the presidential candidate all the way back in 2015, it appealed to me because he was telling the truth about various things. He pointed the finger at Saudi Arabia for 9/11, that was really important. He talked about the importance of reining in illegal immigration. That was important. These were subjects that were taboo. When he went before the debates and got booed for rightly, justifiably, calling out the Bushes for all the time and treasure and lives they wasted in Iraq and Afghanistan and got booed for it. Those were amazing moments. Those were hopeful moments. And those were moments that were speaking truth to power, that were calling out the empire. I've always opposed the empire. I love the republic, but I hate the empire. And I've always differentiated between the two. The United States is a republic that has an overseas empire. I've always envied the republic, its constitution, its institutions, the power citizens have, if they take it, to effect change. Everything from jury nullification to direct ballot initiatives. The United States people, I've seen in my life, people often question, why are their ballots so long? Because they have a lot more choice than you and I do. And there's a lot more variance between how the states govern themselves. And you can pick and choose which ones you want to live in. There's a lot of independence that is built into the republic system. But the empire, just this century, that is the 21st century alone, has killed millions of people, directly or indirectly, via its actions. I keep hearing about the 30,000 at first, now 40,000, Trump's latest allusion to the students that were killed in the Iranian protests. It's now 45,000. The real number's 7,000. It's always been 7,000. The anti-Iranian government, human rights organization that's set up by Iranians themselves, has the number at 7,000. That's where it's always been. It's bad enough on its own. I don't know why we have, feel the need to hyperinflate. Maybe it's because the monetary system likes hyperinflation and that sort of philosophy just bleeds into everything else. But I never hear it talked about the millions of lives that have been lost as a direct result, an outcome of Israeli and American actions in the world. And again, just this century, over 1 million lives lost in Iraq alone. The chaos that was unleashed by NATO in Libya, the ongoing situation in Syria, the evacuation of well over 1 million Lebanese that's happening today, where they're just being uprooted from their homes and told to flee. Families of 3, 4, and 5, little kids that have nowhere to sleep, sleeping on the side of the road, don't even have a tent. And we're supposed to believe that this is humanitarian. The ongoing settler abuse, where Palestinians are just being evicted from their homes in the West Bank by these violent settlers. I don't know how people, other than the fact that they're not seeing it or choosing not to see it, I don't know how they can face the inhumanity of it as decent, empathetic, even God-fearing human beings. So-called Christians, supposedly worshiping the Father, the Lord of mercy, who just shrug their shoulders at the privations of little kids who never did anything to anybody. And some of these people, like oftentimes it's people who don't have kids. It's not that I make an excuse. It's not that there's a, if you don't have kids, you have a pass for not having basic empathy. But the people with children who have to look into their children's eyes and see the glimmer of the Lord in there, the closest we ever come to on earth, to the Father himself, is to be found in a child's eyes, and just shrug your shoulders at their suffering. I can't do that. And I've had people say that it's toxic empathy to be concerned about the loss of innocent life. There's a difference between the toxic empathy that's required to start a child down the road to sterilization as a result of the embracement of a radical ideology, and having the empathy that says that blowing children up as a pastime or kicking them out of their home or any other number of sufferings visited upon them, there's just such a huge difference. I think it should be obvious. I've been consistent my entire life. I don't support the empire. And one of the promises, and this is the thing, it blows my mind, that gets lost in this moment, is that so much of what Donald Trump promised over the last 10 years was about deconstructing that empire, bringing that treasure home, bringing those resources home, and focusing on fixing the problems right in the United States and with the hemisphere. And I'm all for that. But that's not what's happening today. This is another foreign war. It's not going to result in the end of the Iranian regime. It doesn't matter if you bomb them back into the Stone Age. They're uniting around the flag in ways that would have been impossible just 2 months ago. Every single bomb drives the United States further from its objectives. And every single loss paints a bleak picture for the Republican Party coming into November. And that's what the real concern is. This isn't me being full of TDS. I've adopted a different phrase or a different acronym, TCS, Trump Cult Syndrome. It prevents people from seeing the truth as they're busily worshiping their hero. Like, here's the thing. When you're appealing to this guy, I've seen a lot of this over the last few days. There's hundreds of U.S. service members that took videos of Muslims doing it. I've watched them. Yes, they are all very much goat effers. It must suck that you're an uneducated fool that chooses to be ignorant of reality. This is the attitude of the people that Trump is appealing to right now in the strongest way. This is the absolute bottom of the barrel of the base. These absolute scumbag morons who are more than happy to blaze their ignorance all over the internet. It blows my mind. And it paints a picture that's very bleak coming November. And if these ideas, if America first, if MAGA fails here, if the very good ideas, many of them, that underlie the entire project, if they fail here, they're going to disappear for a very long time. The nature of my work is not to condemn the Trump administration as a whole. It's to tell the truth and to hopefully bring it back and restore the promise that it set out to execute. But I think we're so far off the rails now that I don't even know if we can do damage mitigation at this point. But I need it to be understood. This isn't some change over me. Words and ideas matter more than personalities. I could sit in a room with Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, Mark Carney, Elon Musk, and sure, I'd have things to ask, but my palms wouldn't be sweaty. I wouldn't be nervous. I wouldn't be in awe. I'd be sitting in a group of humans, because that's all they are. They all visit the loo every single morning. They're just like you and me. And one of the biggest problems that I see is this hero worship, this deification of men. If you're going to have faith at all, put it in the Father above. You don't put it in men. For men alone is reason. And what is my reason telling me about this conflict? I had to pause there for a minute, just deep in thought as I stared blankly at the camera. What does reason tell me about this conflict? It tells me that America's enemies are sharpening their knives. It tells me that America's so-called greatest ally, Israel, is doing everything it can to actively make sure that the United States cannot extricate itself from this conflict. I warned this during what we call the 12-day war, which was really just the opening operation in this conflict, that if Trump became and America became deeply entangled in an overwhelming bombing campaign in Iran, that it would lead to ground troops and that they wouldn't be able to get out. And when Trump judiciously bombed Fordo and declared the nuclear program over, and then immediately sailed every aircraft carrier as far away from the Middle East as he could so that they were operationally ineffective, I'm like, he gets it. He sees the trap, and he's avoided springing it. I don't know what happened since. Don't know what conversations happen behind the scenes. I just know that Trump is a different man today, and I know his administration is of a completely different character than it was back then. I can speculate all day as to why. But he said again today, if Iran doesn't come to the table and make a deal, in 48 hours he's going to unleash hell, which means all the energy infrastructure is on the table. And this problem facing the global economy, this problem, this idea that America is insulated from the issues of the world, that it can just do whatever it wants without consequence while it is still dependent on the world for so many things, is very short-sighted. And while we're about to embark on this chapter, this new 48-hour ultimatum, there's been red lines and red lines and red lines, and they keep getting delayed or they keep getting crossed, so who knows what will actually happen come Monday. But Trump's message is come back to the table or else. But anybody that tries to come to the table, the Israelis kill. What kind of a friend is Israel that doesn't let you out of the conflict, that does everything in its power to make sure it kills every single person that you could possibly talk to? Doesn't it seem wild that the American taxpayer, not just the American taxpayer having to pay for it, but American lives and treasure, are fully dedicated to this nation of 9 million? It's like the United States is a vassal of Israel and the Israeli government. That's not all Israeli people. This isn't code for Jews, because there are many, maybe even most, that aren't for this arrangement. But at what point does America as a whole, as a political unit, the moment might be November, come to re-examine this relationship and understand that maybe it's not in America's best interest to be involved in all of these wars on behalf of Israel? That North America has its problems. They're looking for $1.5 trillion to fund the U.S. military to keep waging these wars? Why? America needs bridges. It needs roads. It needs its treasure at home. And there was a time not long ago where that's exactly the message that Donald Trump espoused. And as TCS takes over the MAGA base, the ideas and the promises matter less, and the cult of personality, the Trump cult syndrome, matters so much more. But I'm not part of any cult. I've never been a popular man. I probably never will be a popular man. As my life has progressed, I've become far more a hermit. Even in my political involvement, I can go to a convention and I can give a speech. I can go to a debate, do a debate. I can do that. I have no problem with doing that. Some would say I'm good at it. Some would say I'm destined to do it again. Maybe I will. But in the end, all I really have is my family and my wife and a few other people. And some of them I'm losing. I'm losing over my stance when it comes to this war. I'm finding out that if you go against Israel, you take losses. Anyway, I want to read a message. This is not the video I plan to do today. The video I plan to do today, I'll do tomorrow. I want to read this message. Because even as we flirt with failure over here at the channel, and we say things that are deeply unpopular with our audience, because I don't even understand it. It's fascinating to me how people could be listening to me for so long and not understand my position today. And it comes down to selective hearing. People are only hearing the bits that they like, and they're not understanding the full nuance of what's said. Because if they were, they would understand why I'm where I am right now. But anyway, I just want to take a moment and recognize. Woody Woodinson says, Frank, I appreciate your work. Please monetize. You need to be compensated for at least your time. More for your correct assessment, but time definitely. You take a lot of abuse for your views. Might as well allow us that follow you to endure the abuse of a commercial or three. I don't mind it. Most would not mind it, I'm sure. You, I believe, can control the amount of advertising abuse on your channel, but please insert yourself into it somehow. Again, thanks for your hard work, and please gain something out of it. You deserve it. And give it to your family, and faithful followers will not mind it at all. Nobody will think of you less than some already do. Get paid. You are awesome. A good man. And I said, that means a lot to me. And thanks for taking the time to write it. I don't know how to say it. I don't agree with it. Remember I said, like, faith is supposed to inform your actions in life. I don't want Sing Hortons advertising on my channel. I don't want McDonald's advertising on my channel. I don't want to trade letting them shill their products for the pennies that YouTube will give me for that privilege. The only appeal to monetizing is actually the reach. I'll get more views. And maybe I'd be able to expand outside my audience, which is now taking the mickey out of me over the things that I've been saying recently. Maybe I'd be able to get eyes on people that are more nuanced in their approach, because I'm not getting shown to new people, right? The channel only grows by word of mouth, and when your audience doesn't like you anymore, you're not exactly getting the word of mouth boost, and you see it in the numbers. But I can't change that. It's difficult to want to walk away from that. Like, I can't. I want to succeed at this or fail at this by a very different path. I don't want the lucre. I don't want the association. I don't want the YouTube partnership. I don't even want the fame and the accolades and the following. I'd much rather have a small audience that is consistent, not necessarily of the same mind, but capable of being reasonable, than I would a large audience of people who are ensconced in one cult or another cult. Because the cults exist everywhere. Cults of personality, cults of politics, cults of following, cults of religion. I don't really want to do any of that. And the YouTube Partner Program doesn't pay much anyway. It's picking up pennies in front of freight trains. And then they're looking at you. And then you have a real problem, because a lot of these social media channels, they're controlled and contrived. You know, I want to show you one thing. Think about the nature of my coverage over the last month. Think about the things I talk about. This is what X, also the same is kind of true of YouTube, it's less. This is what X shows me in my feed. Brandon Dilly, am I the only one that hopes Iran doesn't make a deal in the next 48 hours? They don't deserve mercy. Turn it to glass. Just kill all those kids. Kill all those women. Kill all those people. Kill 90 million of them. They're only brown skins. Screw them all. Kill all the Persians. Cat tard. Don't double down on failure. Anyone else sick and tired of seeing this leaking POS? I just hate Joe Kent. Joe Kent, one of the people who's actually trying to save America from this disaster. Pete Hegseth, I don't follow any of these people. Bill Mitchell, Dan Bongino, the guy who covered up Epstein after he told everybody to not give up on Epstein. After he made it his identity, he got into government and then proceeded to cover it up and then came out of government, went back to podcasting and gaslit everybody about it. It is TCS. It is a cult. $100 billion strategy turned the straight into leverage. A bold proposal just dropped. Instead of Iran charging blah, 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 we'll escort, we'll make money. It's all pro-war accounts. That's all Twitter wants me to see. That's all X wants me to see. Even Grok, you have to force it to just give you unbiased material. I keep getting linked to different channels on YouTube that I am convinced are intelligence operations because they're not impartial. They only tell you a piece of the truth. They concoct a narrative. It all revolves around Trump's infinite D chess, or it revolves around eliminating Israel's responsibility for the creation of this situation. It all involves portraying the United States as this immortal empire with unmatched might that the world has never seen, as if Rome and Byzantium and the Ottoman Empire or Napoleonic France at its heights. Hubris is just as alive and well in 2026 as it has been at any point in human history. The rise and fall of empires is the subject of many a book that I've read and many more books that I haven't read. And I've been talking about the historic moment as a theme since I started making videos again. The historic moment where everything changes. And the management of that moment is what determines the nature of the next several generations of time. And depending on how monumental that moment is, it could determine the nature of centuries to come. We live in one such moment now. Some call it the fourth turning. The Romans called it the seculum. You can call it whatever you want. It's a moment in time on which the world turns. And my concern is, it's not being navigated in a way that's going to be maximally beneficial to those of us who live on this continent known as North America. And I don't seem to have a choice other than to try and communicate that message as a hope that we can somehow reel it back in and prevent the worst mistakes from being made which lie ahead. I'm not sure we can. But the truth is the truth. The facts are the facts. The chain of consequences are predictable. And that's what we try to report here on this channel. That's what I try to do. And for those of you who are still here, and there's thousands of you still, we haven't failed yet in our endeavor. I appreciate all of you and I appreciate the support. I still don't want to monetize. I have a donate link. You can support it if you want. It just feels wrong. It feels morally wrong. It feels wrong. It just feels wrong. And I don't want to do it. And maybe one day I'll have to for the reach. But for now, we're just going to carry on. But I appreciate all of the words of support. I appreciate all of the endorsement. 97% of you support the idea of becoming a YouTube partner. But I have a track record of not going along with the majority. I'll see you tomorrow for a more proper edition. I certainly have a lot of things lined up to talk about. I was going to talk about them today, but I guess today's just not that day.